DNA is best known for proving the innocence of people who have been wrongly convicted and getting them out of prison. A quieter, more profound revolution is happening at the crime scene, where investigators are gathering evidence and developing their suspects. Virginia leads the nation with 140,000 criminal profiles in its DNA databank, NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
It was her first night back in Charlottesville. The senior at the University of Virginia, who asked not to be identified, fell asleep but was awakened by someone moving around in her room. She reached out and felt the barrel of a gun. "Where is your wallet?" the man said.
I was so flustered at that point, I had no idea where I'd put my wallet. I was like, it's either on the floor of my bedroom or in my car. And he said, well, how much do you have in it? And I said, I only have $5. And he said, well, that's not enough. You're going to pay.
That was when he raped her. He made her take a shower and walked her down to the kitchen where he drank a beer. All the time, she was blindfolded.
I saw an outline of him. Like, I could tell that he was about 5'10", fat, African-American male, you know, mid-20s. That's about all I could tell. And so I could have never picked him out of a lineup, ever.
Charlottesville police developed a list of about 40 suspects, but quickly ruled them out. A few weeks later, Lieutenant Chip Harding, who is the chief of investigations, got a phone call from the Virginia Department of Forensic Science. They were testing semen from the girl's sheets and saliva from the beer can. The DNA profile matched one in the state databank.
And I can remember getting the call from forensic scientists in Richmond, and It's emotional now, even talking about it. But dropping the phone and just jumping up and down, going, my God, I can't believe this. We know who did this to her.
It turned out that the man had a criminal record, not for sexual assault, but for gang-related violence. But since Virginia takes DNA samples from every convicted felon, his name and social security number popped up. The man was convicted. This kind of result has radically changed the way police work in Charlottesville, Virginia. Sergeant Ralph Barfield, who heads up forensic investigations, is almost breathless with examples. The rapist who blew out a candle before attacking his victim, the candle had his saliva. The burglar who wore a pair of socks on his hands left no fingerprints, but the discarded socks contained his skin cells. They found a bank robber who dropped his ski mask and identified a murderer from the sweat in his baseball cap. Barfield says it's nothing like the old days.
You know, you had to have a half-dollar size amount of blood just to get a blood type. Now, oh, it's so nice now. Now I don't have to have blood at all. You know, you drink from your coffee cup. I know how to handle your coffee cup. I got your DNA. You and I shake hands. I know how to handle it. I've got your DNA. As long as I know how to do my part, collecting and the packaging and storing and transporting to prevent the cross-contamination, I got you.
Barfield says another beauty of DNA is that it never grows old. In that sense, he says it's a better witness than people, whose memories fade over time.
This one is referred to as the archive room. And the only thing that goes into this room are cases on appeal, unsolved cases.
The room is the size of a garage and stacked to the ceiling with evidence kits from unsolved murders and rapes 5, 10, 15 years old. Barfield points to a rape kit.
And sooner or later with the databank, his blood's going to show up in that databank, and we'll come back for him.
Virginia has by far the largest databank of all the states, and now it's paying off not just in solving crimes, but in preventing them. The reason is the link between property crimes and rape.
Negative 131, I need you to start towards 810 Harris Street, Southern States, for a phone-in alarm. Showing general burglar, I'll get you another unit as soon as one clears.
It's only breaking and entering, but Barfield sends a forensic detective to the crime scene anyway. The trailer home door has been kicked in. The DVD is missing. There's no broken glass, no blood, no fingerprints, no DNA. But Barfield says they always send a forensic detective, because if the burglar had left his DNA, he could easily show up as a rapist.
Another thing we've learned is that guys that start out doing burglary, they're just a thief, they're just breaking into your house to steal your stereo, but lo and behold, your wife, your daughter, your girlfriend happens to be there, and they stumble into them, and it becomes a crime of opportunity, and they go, oh, well. What we found is so many of the burglars are going from burglary, they move up to rape.
Paul Ferrara says that's borne out by statistics. Ferrara is the director of Virginia's Department of Forensic Science and the man credited with putting Virginia on a scientific fast track. Ferrara says more than half the rapists they have caught were already in the data bank, not for sexual assault, but for burglary. He says that's why Virginia takes the DNA of all felons. If you don't, he says, you give someone a free rape. But Ferrara says there's a problem. Most states are just beginning to create their own data bank, so all a felon has to do to elude detection is leave Virginia.
Somebody who's in finds themselves in our DNA data bank may be well inclined to take his criminal activities to some other state, thinking that, well, I got to get out of Virginia because, you know, I'm in forever in that data bank, and I move or do anything and I'm going to get nailed, so I'll go to a neighboring state or I'll go out into the West Coast.
Several states have no data bank at all. Many are just getting going. Christopher Asplin, who heads a National Commission on the Future of DNA, says there are more than a million violent offenders who should be in a DNA data bank, but aren't, because of cost.
One example is we know that we have in excess of 180,000 rape kits across the country, which should be DNA tested, and those profiles should be put in the database, but have not. Essentially, what you have is a very powerful technology, a very powerful database that just doesn't have enough data in it.
Congress passed a bill to give states $170 million, but that money wasn't included in the budget. So Virginia is forging ahead on its own.
What you're seeing right now is you're seeing laboratory tables where the examiners are working. They're looking at evidence from criminal cases, looking for things like blood.
Lisa Schiermeier at the Virginia Department of Forensic Science shows off a roomy new laboratory. She says just getting a usable sample can take a month. It's then mathematically translated into what looks like a barcode and entered into the data bank.
When you find that needle in a haystack, it's a good day. It's an even better day when that needle hits on a convicted felon in the data bank. You're suddenly the one providing investigative information to the police, and that's a really good feeling.
The computer searches two sets of data banks. One has the DNA of all convicted felons in Virginia. The other includes DNA from all unsolved crimes. Just before 4 p.m., Shelley Smith positions herself in front of a computer.
When I received the case, the information that I received was that the victim had been drugged by an unknown individual and then raped.
There's no suspect in the case, since the woman never saw the perpetrator. And so the data bank is, for now, their only hope.
What is going on?
Smith enters the information. We wait for several long seconds. I ask how long this generally takes.
It's going to take a while, and then it's going to take a while.
Generally.
Oh my.
I got a hit.
The DNA matches the profile of a convicted felon. It will be double checked before Smith calls up the detective who submitted the DNA. This is really only the beginning of the case. Police have to track down the man and build a case against him. But all in all, a one-in-a-billion match is a pretty good place to start. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Charlottesville, Virginia.